We're going to be talking about how to know Jesus personally today. And in preparation for that, I want to read Psalm 123, verses 1 and 2. The title of the message is called Call on the Name. Well, what name might that be? Jesus. Psalm 123, 1 and 2. To you I lift up my eyes, O you who are enthroned in the heavens. Behold, as the heavens of servants look to the hand of their masters, as the eyes of the maid to the hand of her mistress, so your eyes look to the Lord until he is gracious to you, reminding us that we need to look to God. Not just simply go through life and expect or want the things to happen without coming to Him. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much for the way you work in our lives. And Lord, we are grateful for today and we thank you so much for this time of worship. I pray that you'll work in each of our hearts, Lord, as we talk about your gift, your special gift of eternal life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to be looking at Romans 10, verses 9 through 13. And if you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn there. We've been in Romans for quite a while now. I don't even know how long we've been in Romans. And I've been hoping and waiting for this day, because this day is when we really find out the nuts and bolts of how do we come to an understanding who Jesus is. How are we saved, really? And so it's an important text, and we have found out all through Romans so far that we're sinners. And we know what the penalty is for sin, is what? Death. Separation from God. So what do we do about that? Well, we're going to find that out, and I hope that you have a true understanding of what salvation means, number one, and a true understanding of are you saved? If you were to die tonight, would you stand before God? And I want you to know that. You can know that for certain. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It sounds pretty simple, doesn't it? Verse 10, for with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call on him. For whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. I was at a service a couple of weeks ago, and the preacher said something like, if you just simply say this little prayer, you will be saved. Now, I understand that's what's been taught in the church for the last 50 years. If you want to come to Jesus, just pray. I hope you're listening today, because I'm not saying praying is not important. What I am saying is we don't come to Jesus through saying a prayer. Jesus does not save us through saying, there's two parts to this verse. We're going to talk more about that later. This pastor also made the comment that in order to be saved, we must know the specific time, the date that we are saved. And if I took a survey of all of you who know that you are saved today and asked you, how many of you know the specific time, some of you would say yes. And some of you say, no, it was about in this time. I was also, several months ago, I was talking to another church leader, and they were talking about another pastor that they know, and this person was saying that they didn't think the pastor was saved because he didn't know the time or the date that he was saved. And so there's some confusion in the Christian church today. Are you saved? Are you not saved? And my intention today is not to put doubt in your mind. But if there is doubt, I want you to do something about it. I want you to do something about it. I believe that Jesus died on the cross for all humans. I believe that we must live in such a way that we share the light and hope and let that shine into a depraved world so that they will know the truth. The Bible does not say anywhere, I just need to let you know, the Bible does not say anywhere that if you say this little prayer, you will be saved. It doesn't say it anywhere. In the same note, the Bible doesn't say that you must come to Jesus and you must remember that exact time. Okay? Here's what the Bible says. Believe that Jesus came, that he died, and that he rose again on the third day. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen? That's what the Bible says. Listen carefully. We do need to communicate to God. Because as a believer in Jesus Christ, you are in a relationship with Him. I talk to my wife. I'm in a relationship with her. We need to talk to Jesus. We need to understand that we're sinners. We need to confess our sin. We need to repent and turn to Him. I have with me today a coin, and it's called a kina. Not a kina, but it is called kina. You have it up there. It is worth, on today's market, exactly 31 cents. Now, Lena, if I were to give this to you, what would you have to do to get it? Do you know? If I gave it to my wife, what would she have to do? She would have to come and take it. Right? So if I gave this to you, what would you have to do? Come and get it. And I want to give this to you. What would you have to do to get it? You want to come and get it? A brave little girl. It's called a kina. It's real. It has a hole in it. That doesn't mean it's worth less. Just the way they made it. A kina. We all are given a gift. Eternal life. We need to take it. We need to receive it. And sometimes we need to confess our sins before Him. Sometimes God works in our life at a specific moment in time, and it's been working up for a period of times. You've heard a preacher in the past, maybe a year ago, maybe 6 months ago, and you heard the gospel message, and all of a sudden it makes sense to you, and you need to come to Him and ask for forgiveness and ask God to come into your life. And other times, It's through a period of years. And all of a sudden, you come to an understanding that, yes, Jesus is Lord. It varies with everybody. We're all different. But you need to make Him your Savior and your Lord. Let's pray. Lord, I want to thank You for this text, and as we go through it and work through Your Word, Lord, I pray that You will convict us of sin. Lord, also that if there is somebody here that does not know You, that does not have a personal relationship with You, I pray that somehow the truth will be made known to that person. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's look at the first verse. I hope you have your Bibles and you keep your Bibles out. Romans 10, verse 9 says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. And I've mentioned it again, does not mean that you simply say a prayer. There is way more to coming to God than saying it. I hope you understand that. Acts chapter 2. I love Acts chapter 2. It's the beginning of the church. And there's so many cool things that happen in the beginning of Acts. We're going to read verse 29 through 36. It says, "Brethren, I may confidently say to you regarding their patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us today. And so because he was a prophet, and knew that God had sworn to him with an oath to seat one of his descendants on the throne, he looked ahead and spoke of the resurrection of Christ, that he was neither abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh suffer decay. This Jesus," he's talking to the Jewish people now, "this Jesus God raised up from the dead, to which we are all witnesses. Therefore, having been exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured forth this which you both see and hear. For it was not David who ascended into heaven, but he himself says, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet.' Therefore, let all the house of Israel know that for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified." Have you made Jesus your Lord and Christ? The King of your heart? The one that you put your trust in? It's a commitment that we make that happens in our heart. It's a commitment. It's a life-changing experience that all of us need to make. When I talk to people about baptism, it's like us saying to the crowd that from this day forward, I am making a decision to follow Christ. And that's what we need to simply do. When we communicate our wishes to God, I am making decision today to follow you. I am making decision to follow you. One of my friends, years back, his name is Danny, and he was one of these guys that would call me periodically because he had all these get-rich schemes. I'm sure some of you know people like that. And he called me one day, and he says, "Bruce, I got this great idea." And he told me about this plan that he had, and that it's a kind of a computer thing, you know, that people could buy things, and you can get on the ground floor. And I said, "Boy, that sounds like Amway." And if you're in Amway, please forgive me. The problem I have with Amway is they never tell you what you're getting into until you're in. It was quiet on the other end of the phone. Didn't say anything. I found out later, after he came to our house and explained this whole thing, And it sounded really good. Sounded like, you know, we could probably make an extra income off of this. And so I thought about it for a day, and I call him up, and I say, you know, it's just not us. It's not me to go and talk to my friends and put, you know, push them into selling things. It's just not me. I found out that he had just signed up the day that he called me. He had signed up for this product, and he had his manager right there with him, and he says, you need to call six of your friends. Well, why did he make him call six of his friends? So they wouldn't chicken out. You need to know how to do this, he said. So he called me simply because he was told to. He wanted me to sign up. Our president-elect, when he takes office and when he signs an oath, puts his hand on the Bible and he puts his right hand, what? How does it work? I don't know. He commits to upholding what? The Constitution of the United States. In the same way that the president does that, as believers in Jesus Christ, we commit to following what Jesus says. Did you know that? Look at Matthew 7, 15 through 23. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them, listen to this, you will know them by their fruit. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? So every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire, so when you will know them by their fruit. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. So simply, my point is this, by saying with our voice, you are Lord, will not get us into heaven. There needs to be a heart transplant. Verse 22, many will come to me on that day. Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name cast out demons and in your name perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. We come to God by believing in Him. We come to Him by believing in Him. Romans 10:10, for with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. We believe first, then we confess. We believe first, then we confess. Look at John 15:14. It says, you are my friends if you do what I command. Now, listen to this. If you do what I say, then you belong to me. If you do what I say, then you belong to me. What it's conferring to is the rest of Scripture, because if it says in any New Testament text, if it says, for the Scriptures say, what's it referring to? The Old Testament. As the Scriptures say, and this is exactly what Jesus did when he was battling with Satan on the temptations, he would bring back Scripture verses and say, it is said that you must do this. Believe in your heart that Jesus is who he says he is, and then do what it says. Believe in your heart first, and then do what it says. Verse 11, for the Scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. The NIV says here, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. How many of you have ever been put to shame? Come on, everybody. I remember in a late elementary school, early junior high, worst years of my life. I was put to shame so many times. I'm an introvert. Most of you look at me and say, you're kidding me, right? I was quiet. I was shy. Introvert. I was an easy target for those bullies who thought that by picking on somebody else is going to make them look better. So I was picked on. You will not be put to shame. It's not saying that I can shame any one of you. It's not saying you will not be put to shame. You deal with a lot of people, a lot of children that are in the same boat that I just explained. A lot of kids are feeling shame and disappointment in their life, right? That's not what this is talking about here on earth. What happens? I'm looking for someone who I have eye contact with. Kim, your eyes are right here. What happens when you pass away on this earth and you get to heaven? What's going to happen? No more pain, no more ugliness. You are going to spend eternity with Him. Are you going to come to Him with shame? Your sins are washed away. Once we get to heaven, there is no more shame. Isaiah 28:16 is what that text is referring to. It says, "Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a testa stone, a costly cornerstone for the foundation firmly placed. He who believes in me will not be disturbed or not be dismayed or not be put to shame." Do you believe in Jesus who is the cornerstone? Is your life on that foundation? That cornerstone of Jesus? My very first job when I was, actually I worked there 4 years, it was at a place called Murphy's Landing in Shakopee. How many know where Valley Fair is? How many of you kids know where Valley Fair is? Okay? Okay, adults and everybody, okay. I lived in that town where Valley Fair is, but right next to Valley Fair, there's a place called Murphy's Landing, and it's what I call the restoration project. They went from teepees all the way up to modern days, and they had every year just about represented in houses, and they explained how things were. And my job during those summer early years was to lay the foundation for houses, and then build foundation walls, and then face the buildings with limestone rocks. Okay, I would get to work periodically. Some days, most of the days, my rocks stayed in place, but some days I'd get there and one of my rocks had fallen down. It wasn't placed well, and the weight of the rock, it fell down. Well, in our lives today, how many times do we make mistakes? But our foundation is not a mistake. Our foundation is based on Jesus Christ. We need to trust in our foundation. Isaiah is talking about the cornerstone, which is Jesus Christ. If our lives are founded on the cornerstone, we will not be disappointed. 1 John chapter 2, verses 28 and 29. "Now, little children, abide in Him, so that when He appears, He may have confidence and not shrink away from Him in shame at His coming. If you know that He is righteous, you know that every one also who practices righteousness is born of Him." Our sins are washed away when you come to an understanding of who He is. Verses 12 and 13. "For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call on Him. For whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved." Paul, in the past, eight verses has talked a lot about the Jews and the Gentiles. And we need to know and understand that Jews and Gentiles have the right to come to him, because we all are under sin and we all have get to come to him. We looked in Romans 3, 27 through 31, some months ago, 5-6 months ago probably, that that salvation is for the Jews and the Gentiles. I was going to call a few people in the audience today just simply to have a short conversation with them. I'm not going to do that. But my point was going to be made. I can talk to you. I can talk to you. I can talk to you. And that does not necessarily mean that I have a relationship with you. Isn't that right? I might know you, but just because I talk on the phone does not mean that I have a personal relationship with you. It's the same way with God. I can talk to him, but I may not have a personal relationship. And that's what this text is saying today. When we come to him, oh yeah, we need to talk to him, but we need to start in the heart. It's a heart decision. So simply knowing about God does not bring us to him. We need to experience him. We talked about that a couple weeks ago. We need to experience Jesus. We need to trust him. We need to put him on in our life, and he will wash away our sins. Verse 13 again, whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. So the question today, have you turned your life over to God? Have you made him ruler or Lord of your life? King that sits on the throne of your heart. I hope so. Sometimes the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart. And if you do not know Jesus, and he's been speaking to you today, and you want help deciding which way to go, please come and talk to me. Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will dine with him, and he with me. Amen. Have a good week.